Welcome to Morning Motivation with GoGo.
And Natasha.
So glad everyone is here. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We are here. Everyone is here. And thank you for listening once again. We appreciate the support, all of our listeners, all of our followers, and our contributors, and the producers, and our sponsors. We thank everyone for helping making this podcast come to life. And we have such a great topic today, one that is a personal to both of us and really to the world.
We are resting in your truth.
Ooh, say it one more time for the people in the back.
Resting in your truth.
Wow. Wow. You know, even in that title, you said so much, you don't even know. Even in that title, resting in your truth. First, we're just going to break down the actual title before we even get into the meat of it. That first word, that core word is rest, which is so much of what the American culture does not really talk about, and we ignore. We just on this whole rat race and just keeping it going to a point where we start breaking down. Physically, mentally, emotionally, all those things. But that key word is rest. When you can, and rest signifies stillness. When you are still for a moment, you are quiet, you are paused. That rest is so important. And the next step of that is, where are you resting? We're resting in. Ooh, we're resting in. We're not resting out. We're not resting above, we're not resting under, we are resting in. And then that third word is your. So it is about you, okay? Because so many of us do not put ourselves first, and therefore we are tired in every facet of the word. And then we have the most important truth. Where are you right now in this moment? Resting in your truth. Just stay there. It's okay to stay right there in your truth. Sometimes we waver, step out, and you always got to step back in. Eventually, always got to step back into your truth. But if you could just rest in that, and that could be your starting space.
So much power in that. So much power. Thank you for breaking that down, GoGo. That really, it resonated with me. I was just like, okay, that makes sense. Every single part of that. Here's the thing, like truth, I don't know if it's a fun buzzword these days. Is it a fun buzzword?
It needs to be.
It needs to be a fun buzzword, because truth is not easy. Truth is not easy. And I don't think it's meant to be easy, but it takes practice sometimes, because I think there's so many ways that we don't rest in our truth.
Right.
When somebody asks you, for example, hey, good morning, GoGo. How are you today?
The response would be, I'm fine. Thank you, or what about you? That would be the natural response that we do here, right, in the U.S.
And regardless to whether you're actually feeling fine or not, that would be then the answer has been settled and we're moving on to the next. We don't really dig any deeper. We don't really, you know, get into the details. And, you know, maybe GoGo isn't fine that day. Maybe something is going on that morning that actually is going to be slightly distracting, and we don't get to even talk about that. And maybe that just taking that extra moment to mention that would have actually like been enlightening or lifting of his spirit in that moment.
You have ties to the UK, and I don't know if you have noticed this, because I know you've been here in America for quite some time, but in the UK, they ask a different question. They ask, are you okay?
You all right? Yeah, are you all right? Are you all right? Yeah.
Which has a whole different connotation. Like when my friend Jordan, shout out to Jordan, she's amazing. She'll ask me, we'll be on the phone, are you okay? And it's like, well, am I okay? It's like, let me check, am I okay? It really actually makes me think, because it's leaning into a certain direction. So then I have to kind of like process, am I okay? To then respond back honestly. So it does actually foster a more honest response than how are you? Because how are you is very neutral. Are you okay? Can insinuate that something may be wrong.
Which can be negative or positive, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's just wherever you are personally in that moment,
Right.
if you're resting in your truth, then you can answer that truthfully and say, no, I'm not okay actually right now. But I'll be good. I'll feel better later or something,
Right.
and then you can move on with the rest of it. It doesn't have to be a long thing, to say, no, I'm not okay. I mean, is it so problematic if you're not okay?
And that's the question. There's a great artist, Demi Lovato. I've quoted her so many times just in my life. And she has a quote on one of her songs, and it says, "It's okay not to be okay." And having that freedom to not be okay in this moment, it's all right. And give yourself that grace to not be okay from whatever it is that you're dealing with. And that is okay because you will actually move on to the next moment. Because emotions, feelings are their stock market, like a stock market price. They just go up and down and they continue to go up and down. So we just have to just manage, we just kind of manage it, and we invest in certain things that it takes us to a certain level, or it takes us up, takes us down, one or the other.
Yeah, they're fluid. They're
Yeah.
moving all the time. But sometimes when we ignore them, they can become a bit rigid, right? They can just get a bit stuck. And especially if there's been a sort of socialization to where it's like, well, emotions aren't good to have at all, period. So just stuff them.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many people out there can relate to this. If you grew up in sort of a socialization where it wasn't okay to have or feel an emotion, especially if it wasn't one that was just upbeat, happy, or, going to be in alignment with whatever the person maybe that you're talking with felt was appropriate in that moment.
Right. And because emotions are so extreme, emotions are seen as very peculiar. If anyone is involved in social media and you watch anything on social media, when there's an extreme emotion being expressed, you have a viral video. If someone is shouting, they're mad, they're at the ticket counter at the airport going off. And I'm not saying that's appropriate, but I'm saying when there's an expression of extreme emotion, everyone's watching. And if someone is crying on a video, it goes viral every time because people, we're attracted to that because what inherently is, and this is getting a little bit deeper, what it is we're attracted to the truth. Because in that moment, that person is expressing themselves honestly. And that is what we gravitate towards. And we don't know that necessarily as a culture of why we watch certain things and why things resonate with us, but it's like, oh, wow, that's truth. That's truth. That person is speaking their truth. At whatever it is. Yes, it's crazy. Yes, they might get arrested, but they're speaking their truth. And I'm watching it, you know?
It is. It's like it's intoxicating watching somebody else get that sort of full release of like whatever emotion it is they're feeling in that moment. It's like, whoa, that's what it looks like. Because I
Right.
don't get to do that. I don't do that. I don't go express myself very truthfully at the moment that I may be feeling frustrated at a counter of an airline ticket. Like you just say, okay, I have to like kind of reel it in because I don't want to be arrested.
Right. And you literally are leading me to the quote of the episode, if I could even call it that, but here it is. If you don't express yourself honestly, you will express yourself dangerously.
Ooh, I just did like I just took a sip of coffee, but I'm just like turn ooh, like sideways. Ooh, what? I just got hit with a quote.
We laying it down on y'all because, and I guess we'll just go with the same scenario, this airline ticket moment of anger expression or frustration. So something led to that to be for that person to have that moment because I will say, and this is just my opinion, I'm not a professional, I'm just go. I will say that before that person got to that moment, there were some moments in their life from that day, from that month, where they did not express themselves honestly. And so it led to a build up of unexpression to extreme expression, and it was a dangerous release. Because the person that's emotionally intelligent and has throughout the day, throughout their week, express themselves honestly in a very concise way and like addressing something in the moment is not going to have a buildup of emotion, because all that stuff needs to be expressed. So if you are emotionally constipated, you will mess around and take a shit at the airline counter and go off on somebody. I'm just saying. Okay. Can I get real with y'all? Can I be real? Y'all listening?
He just got real. We might have to get the FCC a holiday today. I love it. It's true. Emotional constipation is dangerous. It's dangerous. I can speak on it. I've been there. Like
Was that you at the airline counter? Did I see you?
No, I didn't. Not that time. You might have seen me. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. So I didn't even realize this story would fit into today's topic, but it really does. So I was a patient at a particular, I want to say, I'm just going to break it down. They were a dermatologist office. Okay. So they were a specialist, and I was going there for, I actually looked back at my medical records. I was cleaning out some of my medical records this week. I was like, I don't need all this paperwork. And I was like, I was actually a patient there for more than 7 years. So I remember going there the first year and meeting a particular representative at the counter who was a little abrupt, just a little disengaged, not very friendly in their engagement with me at the counter. And I said, oh, okay. And I just carried on in a pleasant sort of way and said, you know, because maybe they're having a bad day, because that happens. You know, you wake up, you have a bad morning. And I gave her the benefit of the doubt because I thought, it's happened to me. It's okay. So I just let it go. Then you don't always go back, you know, frequently to these places, you know, but I did clock that she was slightly nicer to the person who came in behind me, just slightly nicer. I said, okay, well, maybe she just doesn't connect with my energy. Okay, that's fine. Next time I went, maybe a year later, same thing, same energy. I'm being pleasant. She's not being pleasant. I said, okay, all right. She's just not very nice. I'm just going to leave her where she's at.
Yeah.
So I noticed this over the course of 7 years. Didn't say anything, but each year I was becoming angrier and angrier at the treatment. And I did actually then start to notice that she was treating other patients sort of similar. Like some patients she treated nicer. And some patients, she was a little bit gruffer and more rude and dismissive. Mm. You know, sometimes there's a word for this. It's like you have your filter that you work through from your personal perspective, and you may not even be aware that you're treating people differently based on your personal biases. But that's what I was observing.
Mm.
And so 7th year, here I am, I'm at the counter. And I just saw her behave extremely sweet, nicely to the person who was just being served. She was pleasant as could be, like there were butterflies floating around her in this encounter. And I just thought, although maybe she's in a better mood today. I got to the counter and she was rude. I mean, immediately switched it up to boom, rude, blunt, you know, to the point of unpleasant. Something switched. Like the switch just clicked and I was done. And I said, you know, you are extremely rude. I said to her. And she was like, what? I can't hear you. Because I had a mask on. You know, we're in a medical facility. At that time, masks were still being used. So I spoke up. I said, every time I come into this particular office, you are rude. I don't need this. I don't need this type of interaction with you every time I come in here, you know? And like, I did start to get then, like I felt the emotions start to rise and maybe, you know, my voice started to take on a more emotional tone. So it wasn't so logical and like, this is what happened. I feel this way. And like making those sort of, I felt like this when you did that statement, like that was not happening. I was just like the emotional floodgates open. a little bit. Some of the patients in the area were sort of like their ears were perking up. I guess they were waiting for like something to happen. And I just asked, I said, you know, I really would like to speak with your manager. I did go Black Karen. I did step into that moment fully. I embraced it because I don't play that. It's like if you can feel confident enough to be that blatantly rude to specific customers and blatantly nice to others, then there needs to be an adjustment made in like the way that you're choosing to treat patients. So I was done. All the sort of like low voice that I was using went out the window. Like I don't raise my voice at a counter talking with a representative. I'd been there for 7 years and I'd never done that. But in that moment, I was finished. That might have been a viral video moment, Gogo,
It might have been. And
if I
seven is
jumped
the
over
number
the
of completion.
counter. Maybe. Maybe that's the completion for me, because I did. I asked to speak with a manager. I spoke with a manager in the office. Then I spoke with a manager at the head office because I wasn't happy with what the manager there told me. I was completely all the way done. All the way done.
Yeah. And right there, that's such a perfect story of the buildup that happens. Obviously, you notice a pattern. I can no longer stand for this, so I need to rest in my truth, and I'm gonna go off on you, okay?
Let you know, like I'm gonna let you know. And the thing is, like honestly, I feel like it's been a progression for me in my adult life to where I felt like, yes, I can speak my truth. And you know, because I'm always mindful that I think, especially as a woman of color, not to overly raise my voice in public. There's specific sort of things that I carry myself in a specific way because I'm aware of this culture and the society here in America. Let's not leave that out. It's not acceptable for a woman of color to express her truth all the time because people feel uncomfortable. Then you're being told that you're aggressive. You're being told that you're loud, you're
Or difficult.
inappropriate, difficult. Exactly. I always carry myself with a very specific sort of decorum when I'm dealing, especially in any sort of professional setting. It's in mind, top of mind. So for me to actually raise my voice just slightly, that was like me really resting in my truth. I was feeling frustrated, disrespected, and just completely like devalued. Your feelings don't matter to me. I don't care whether I'm rude or polite or anything to you because you don't deserve just the basic human kindness when you come to this medical facility.
Ooh, and let me tell you something. You have hit on something. You don't even know what you just did. Okay. What you're mentioning there is when there is a disrespect happening, when there's a neglect happening, we then have to ask ourselves in that moment of you dealing with another person, this thing is taking place. Now, when we flip the script and we look down on our piece of paper and we look down at our goals. Are we neglecting our goals? Are we disrespecting our goals? What's going to happen is you're going to have a moment where you're going to express yourself dangerously out of frustration because you realize that you haven't done what you needed to do for the goals that you've set for yourself. And so, in these moments that we have with other people, we then have to say, okay, that happened in that moment. I didn't like the way that person treated me. Okay. How then am I now going to treat myself in relation to my goals? Am I going to pay attention? Am I going to be nice to my goals that I've set? Am I going to recognize and acknowledge the goals that I've set every single day? Because if you don't do that, you will have a moment just like that, but with yourself, when you realize, oh, I haven't been treating myself the way. Where are you mentally, physically, and emotionally in relation to your goals? Because if you will not stand for it for another person, you cannot stand for it with yourself. And you must rest within your truth. Come on, somebody.
Go, go. Let's go. That okay, and this is why we have these conversations and we have these exchanges because it's so true. You're asking when you're facing this experience in the outer, this is the outer world.
Yeah.
This person was providing a mirror for me,
Ooh.
right? So when you really get to the deeper truth of the situation, this person could not respond to me in this way unless I, on some level, felt this way within myself.
Ooh.
Even if I'm not aware of it on a conscious level, subconsciously somewhere, there was some part of me that was projecting this, and she allowed me to see that as a mirror and reflected it back to me. And how am I then? Exactly what you're saying, and when we're applying it to the other areas of our life, how am I disrespecting myself in these other ways in my life that I may not be consciously aware of?
Right. And you saying that it took 7 years for you to speak up about that situation. And then it's like, take that same amount of time. Where in my life have I not spoken up for myself? Where I need to. And that could just be an internal thing. Because if you are doing it with the airline counter person, surely you're doing it with yourself as well. Surely you're doing it with people that are closer to you. And I have friends that have trouble speaking out about something that is bothering them. And I'll tell a story of a friend of mine. Her and her friend, they'll go out and she'll pay for something and he'll say, okay, I'll pay you back. And he will forget about it or won't do it. And then when he pays for something, he immediately says, hey, I need you to go ahead and Venmo me right now. Go ahead. I need you to go ahead and send me that money right now. And he's very kind of biting about it. Whereas like there's stuff that he hasn't paid for, still hasn't like Venmoed her for back. And so she addressed it at a time when they were drinking and stuff, and you know, she had said some choice words, and so it was kind of a dangerous expression at that moment, but it had been building up because she had not addressed it in the moment, and that's what happened. So we really have to take that mirror and say, where in my life am I not actually resting in my truth? Because when there's not a resting in the truth happening, there is an expression of dangerousness that's waiting to happen. And it will happen because it will be expressed in some way, somehow. We cannot avoid it. It may take 7 years, it may take 7 minutes, but it will be expressed. And if you don't regulate, and if you don't have that check-in with yourself at different levels, you have a moment that you might have to apologize for later.
Thank you for sharing the story about your friend. And it brought up a great point about the fact of timing. You're at a social situation, you're inside a bar, per se. People's inhibitions are already down. They're drinking a little bit, they're imbibing a little bit. Your brain faculties are now sort of like switched into a different mode. And now you're bringing up the truth exactly. Like words are going to flow that you may not have intended.
Right.
When you've got your full faculties, right? You have your full frontal cortex in activity. So yeah, she's speaking from her emotion, from like that side that's like the uninhibited. This is like, here it is. This is what I've been wanting to say, and I'm going to say it however it's going to come out.
Right.
And yeah, that is dangerous.
Yeah.
So yeah, timing is everything. We've got to be intentional about when we choose to express ourselves. That's, going back to what you were saying earlier, that emotional intelligence to be able to step in every moment and judge, how do I feel about this? Do I need to say something right now?
Right.
Let me see.
Yeah. And I've had that with myself because I've done a lot of mental and emotional work. And I was in a situation where drinks were happening, it was vibing and all that stuff. And it had gotten to a point where I was like, okay, I now no longer need to be socializing past that point of no return. I need to return back to my hotel room before I do something, I say something that is going to have a consequence that I don't appreciate. And so I remember someone was asking me, oh, Gogo, are you okay? I was like, you know, I need to go back to the hotel. It's time for me to go. Because I knew, all right, I'm stepping into a territory that I don't want to be in. So I now need to exit myself from the situation. And that's what I did. Went back to the hotel, went to sleep. It was fine. No one was harmed by my words. So I was like, okay, cool. because I had the wherewithal to check in. But had I been a different person or not had done some work, I could have had a detrimental situation. And you have to check in with yourself and you kind of know that about yourself in all aspects of your life, because no one is perfect. We are going to have these moments where we will have a dangerous expression of self. That's going to happen. It's about kind of mitigating it and limiting it as we move forward in life and knowing how to avoid certain things that we know we don't want the consequence of. And that's really what it's about. And that's an honest truth, because we all are going to have these moments. They're going to happen. But it is about, are you trending up or trending down? Are you having less of those moments or more of those moments?
Yeah.
And which do you want more of?
I love that. I love that go-go. It's like, let's remember, we're all humans here. We're all learning, every one of us. Nobody's exempt from the learning experience, but it's what we do with the information we receive when we have these different experiences. Do we use that and say, hey, maybe I need to approach this differently, or what could I be doing to think about this differently? Am I going to go back to a medical office? And if I'm experiencing disrespect, am I going to allow that to happen for more than 1 year, for more than 1 day? No, I'm not going to wait 7 years.
Right. Right.
I'm going to tell you right then, I don't appreciate this. Is this if I'm feeling that way? So I'm a different person. I'm a different Natasha now than I was 7 years ago.
There you go. Yes. And when you look in that mirror and you say, hey, I'm proud of where I've come from because I'm not where I was. And you really can note your progress. And that's why we have to check in with ourselves. And that's what resting in your truth is really is a self check-in with yourself, with where you are in your goals, in your life, with the people around you, so that you can say, hey, okay, I like the direction I'm going in. Because when you do have a moment of expression, you're like, okay, I may have this moment, but I'm still going in the right direction. I, may have faltered. Or the opposite, where it's like, oh, I don't like the direction I'm going in. I need to change. I'm off a route. GPS is taking me somewhere I don't want to be. I need to reroute immediately so I can get to where I want to go to. But the question is, where do you want to go to? Because in order for you to even move in a direction, you have to have an idea of where you want to go. Maybe not the specific destination because no one's perfect, but have an idea of what you want. Write it down, check in with it, add details along the way, and then you'll be painting your life one day at a time.
Yes, it is artwork what we're doing. It's art, artful living. I love all of this, and I wanted to check in with you and see if we can talk about kind of what prompted this episode when we came up with this idea, because it was really quite interesting how this all sort of, these episode ideas, they just come to us through our exchanges. And okay, so this is what happened. Go-Go is one of my friends, and he is an amazing individual I've gotten to know over the last, is it 10 years yet? I mean, it's been a while, but we don't hang out as frequently in person. It's just the nature of SoCal. And anyway, Go-Go had told me, hey, I'm having a birthday party. I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. And then I didn't receive an invitation. So I was like, oh, like I felt a little sad. And then I was like, oh, and I didn't say anything at the time. And then Gogo then, had the enjoyment, the party. And then afterwards I was like, okay, wow, I would have loved the opportunity to maybe attend. Now here's the thing. I don't leave my house as frequently. Something he knows about me. I do have a long history of not stepping outside of my house when invited. So, but I just let him know. He was like, the party went great and we were talking about it. And I was like, Gogo, I need to tell you something. I'm sad that you didn't invite me to your party. And I felt kind of like I was 5 years old at that point. But I just like, I have to tell him the truth about this, because I was starting to feel like really kind of like left out. And you can feel that way at any age, apparently. And here I am, like nearly 50. He's like, well, let's talk about it. And see, this is like the emotional intelligence of Gogo. This is real. Okay. This isn't just for the podcast. Like his emotional intelligence is real. He's like, let's have an exchange. So we're talking about it. And he's like, okay, well, I wasn't aware. So you kind of remember this now, Gogo.
I remember that conversation. I don't remember what prompted me to call you when I told you about the topic. I can't remember what that
No.
was.
we were talking about this. We were talking about, we were having this exchange. I didn't tell you in the moment how I felt. Like, that wasn't my truth. I didn't say, hey, I would have really liked to be invited. I didn't tell you that. That would have been my truth in that moment. Instead, I just went, oh, and I just was like, okay. And I just went off and sort of started to feel really sad. And then I just started to hear about all the fun times. And I was like, I wasn't invited. Why didn't you invite me? So that was me, like, he's like, oh, you need to express yourself honestly, right? And that was kind of like the subtopic. It's like, yeah, express yourself honestly in the moment. It's okay. We're friends. That's what friends do. You know, I'm still learning. You may be any age in life and still be learning different aspects of how to engage with other people because of whatever you've experienced. I have a lot of trouble around expressing my feelings honestly. I really do feel very vulnerable. It feels dangerous. It feels like very dangerous for me to say honestly, hey, I need to feel needed, or any sort of expression like that. Shut it all the way down, stuff it down, and kind of ignore it. And I think because I have been doing so much self-work over the last 6-7 years, like really intensely, all the bullshit, my body is just like, no more.
Yeah. And so the conclusion of that, because you all were wondering, why did I invite her, was like, well, go, like, you need to tell us, like, why didn't you invite her? Like, and I told her, I was like, I didn't want her to be under that pressure of needing to show up because of the location of where I was having it. I didn't even want to even put that pressure on you, because I have friends that will invite me to their birthday party, and it's across the country. I'm not getting on no flight for your birthday. Like, I'm just not doing it. And so, and this was not that situation, but it was like, I don't even want to put that pressure on someone to like, hey, but then from that perspective, when we talked about it, it was like, you know, a lot of times, even if the person doesn't want to come, can't come, the invitation is misfelt and received. And people just want to be included, even if they can't actually come. We love to be included. And it feels good to be included, even though we know we're not going to show up, or we have a conflict internally or externally that will prevent us from coming. And I didn't even think about that piece because I didn't want to put that added pressure on my friend because we are so close. And so now I know, throw out that invitation, just throw it out there. Okay. And that's how you grow, is through conflict. No matter how small or how big it is, that's how you grow and become closer with a person. But conflict cannot even be addressed until it's brought forth in conversation. You can't even get over it until you've talked about it. So
exactly,
we got to talk about it.
We got to talk about it because, again, it's coming back to the topic, resting in your truth. Like, that's why it evolved out of that.
Right.
Because it did feel so dangerous to me personally to rest in my truth. And I was like, wow, this is some deep stuff. Maybe somebody else out there is also feeling like this. How do you feel out there? Is this something that you resonate with? Let us know what you think about that. And just know Gogo is a stand-up friend. So you don't need to worry about that. He helped me to learn something about friendship that day that I wasn't even aware of for the whole of my life before that. So truth telling has a lot of healing. It's a lot of potential to unlock just new areas of your life.
Yes. And there's a great, not quote, but a great term that's coming to me called the adventure of honesty. When you are honest with someone, and then it opens them up the opportunity to also be honest, which opens up an opportunity of adventure, because you don't know where the honesty is going to take you. Now, when you're not honest with someone and you don't open up that door, you know where it's going to go, because you've already predetermined what the outcome is going to be, because you've decided to lie, or you've decided not to speak on it. So you already know that it's going to go in a certain direction, because that's why people lie. People lie because they want a predetermined outcome. Mm. They're like, I do not want this person to feel this way, so I'm going to omit this, because I know if I omit this, they're going to feel this way, and we're going to go in this direction. Never opening up yourself for the adventure of honesty. And we did that for each other. And now we have this another level of closeness.
Yeah.
Because the adventure of honesty creates closeness.
You're letting go of control in that moment. When you say, hey, I'm going on an adventure of honesty.
Yeah.
We don't have
No.
a society, I think, that's built on an adventure of honesty.
Absolutely not.
It circles back to what we opened with, which was, hey, how are you?
That's a controlled situation in that response. So the question is, now we're getting even deeper. The question is, would you rather have control or have closeness? Because if you have control, that's going to create isolation. When you have closeness, that creates community. Oh, listen, listen.
I'm running around the room right now. I've got like air horns blowing.
Him with another one.
We're gonna add in the sound effects for y'all. It's gonna be popping.
Well,
This is so
listen,
good.
on that note, thank y'all so much for joining us again for another episode of Morning
Go,
Motivation. Not you messing up my clothes. Tell my producer, edit that out. Listen, Elon, edit that out when we do this. Listen, thank y'all so much for joining us on another episode of Morning Motivation with
Go.
and Natasha. See you next time.
See ya.